Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. How are the mountain climbing cops doing? We were going to check in with David Hartman from the Wilford Police, Wilton Police Department. We got him on the phone, and the connection is really poor, so we're going to try him again during this break. But, you know, it's a whole group of police officers from Connecticut and New Jersey and a few others, not just police officers, but they're going to climb Mount Kilimanjaro for a cause.
That's huge.
And that cause is Special Olympics.
Yes.
On the phone now is Jackie Turo, Senior Director of Special Olympics for Special Olympics Connecticut. Hello.
Good morning.
What do we know? When's the last time you checked in with them? How are they doing?
I got a text around 5:30 this morning saying that they'd been hiking since 11 a.m. And keep in mind, they're about 8 hours ahead of us. They've been up since 6, had breakfast, and then the bus left for the base of the mountain. Everyone was in good spirits. They saw some wild monkeys. And around 5:30.
That's always fun. Wild monkeys.
Yeah, right.
I would think that's when you know it's real.
Yeah.
You know?
You see like, wild is that
monkeys?
A monkey?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right.
You see something you normally don't see. Like
exactly.
When you see them here, they're in cages.
Exactly. Or you're drawn to one of those safari things.
All right.
Yeah, I think they found out it was real when I saw a photo they posted yesterday of a slug that had to be close to 8 inches long.
It's
it was disgusting.
Disgusting. And somebody put their hand, like you don't even know what it is. It's just this weird looking thing in the grass.
The blob,
and then somebody put their hand next to it to see the scale. It's disgusting.
It's not the slug so much when you see a spider the size of your hand. That's when you freak out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when I'm good.
Oh, but imagine stepping on that slug.
Ew.
Yeah. Have you ever stepped on a slug barefoot?
Yes, I have many times. Playing hide and go seek in the summer. That's when you're revealed. Like, and they tag you it.
You know, it would be creepy, like, if the monkeys were waving their arms or, like, pointing the other way, like, go back.
Don't go. Don't go.
Like, it would be the beginning of, like, Friday the 13th or, you know, whatever.
And there's that weird music playing.
Yeah. And the monkeys are like, what do you do?
Right.
Do you keep going?
Right. Ignore the monkeys.
Right.
Exactly.
Ignore the monkeys.
They start throwing feces at you. No, you must flee. Go, go.
So that's good. They're in good spirits. They saw some wild monkeys and a giant slug.
Right.
I hope they ate well. I guess you don't want to eat too well before you start climbing a mountain.
Yeah.
You don't want to have to send a message, which is code for poo-poo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When monkeys get mad, exactly.
You're going to have to send a message at some point.
Any idea how high they are so far?
So they should be closing in on 8,800 feet. They're closing in on the Mandara Hut.
Oh, isn't that enough?
The Mandara Hut.
Mandara Hut.
What is the Mandara Hut?
It's like a pizza hut for them out there, yes.
There's some different huts kind of set up at different elevations up the whole mountain. And that's kind of their goal every day is to get to the next hut. So the first one they reach is their Mandara Hut tonight. These ones, I believe, are some A-frame huts that sleep about 12 people each.
Oh,
so like an actual building to sleep in, not just in a sleeping bag on the floor.
I was picturing a hut with a monkey and an apron.
Exactly, right. Exactly. Bringing you tropical drinks. With an
selling
umbrella in it.
Drinks served in half coconuts.
And
exactly,
banana
right,
bread.
Right.
Yeah.
And barbecue.
Oh, wow. All right. So they're pacing themselves. They have goals for each day.
Right.
That's good.
Yep. Yeah, so today was about 5 miles, about a four-hour hike. And then tomorrow they do about 8 miles in about 6 to 8 hours.
And they're doing trails.
Another...
They're doing trails,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
No, they have machetes and they're chopping their way through.
I'm just because folks make it like, the wrong
with
idea.
With a pickaxe.
Folks make it the wrong idea like they're climbing a mountain like rock climbers, you know? They're actually like walking a trail.
Pretty
I don't think anyone will get that idea.
Well, I did it first.
All right. Well,
anybody
it's
I met me.
It's more of a hike than a mountain climb.
Right. It's a long hike going uphill.
And we were talking to them, you can't go too fast because the altitude will screw you up.
Yeah, the motto of the mountain is pole pole, which is slowly, slowly in Swahili. So I
Here
told them all the
last
words.
Saying pole pole. Hey, slow down.
Okay, we got to work on that part.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
Yes, we'll have a chorus.
Well, this is great. So how much money are they raising for this? Do we know that yet?
To date, they have raised over $158,000.
What?
Wow.
Connecticut. That's awesome.
Are you kidding me?
Damn.
I know. This event just far exceeded all of our expectations. We're so proud and so humbled that this group chose Special Olympics.
How much they choose? How much?
Amazing way.
How much will they make when they get to the top? Like all together with the goal.
That would be the money. That would be the money.
Surviving.
No, I thought that's what they made so far. I thought like when they get to the top, there's more money.
No, I think people just donate.
Well, what is there, like great. A pot of gold with a leprechaun?
I don't know. I don't know.
It's like a monkey with a little leprechaun hat and a pot of gold.
I thought it's magically coins. Delicious.
Like today's $150,000 gold, tomorrow $300,000 gold, that type of deal.
That's a video game, I think.
No.
So our goal when they started this was to try to raise $120,000 before they left. And to be at close to 160 is just amazing.
That's amazing.
You know, yeah.
All right, to AJ's point, though, can people go online now and still donate?
Absolutely.
Okay, so AJ, you're right. It might be more than that, but nobody knows. Right?
Yeah.
So it's not like people pledged per
mile,
whatever.
Per hut. Yeah.
Right,
no.
And then if they make it to the top, it's a different amount.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll link up at WPLR.com if you'd like to go and help Special Olympics Connecticut. I don't know if you've ever been to one, but it is one of the most inspiring things you'll see.
The athletes are awesome.
Yeah. So we're linked up at WPLR.com. And is there some point where they lose cell service? Because it doesn't sound great now. So I'm guessing there'll be days where we don't hear from them.
Yeah, I think we may have hit that point.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a little spotty in places, kind of up the mountain. And, you know, I guess we'll see how Mother Nature wants to cooperate with us and send those cell signals. I'm not sure how well that works, but
yeah.
I was told that kind of in various spots throughout the mountain, they might get a little bit here and there. So they're taking photos. If you head to Facebook and search for Cops Conquering Kilimanjaro for a Cause, you'll find them, and they're posting photos whenever they can.
I think I came up with a better name for next year.
What is it?
If they do it next year. Mountain Climbing Caps.
Nice. It's like a series on Fox.
Okay.
Another episode of Mountain Climbing Cops.
That's a great thought, though. Is anyone recording this to make some kind of a special out of it?
Like a documentary?
I'm taking notes.
Oh.
Right. No, but is anyone on the crew...
Oh.
Cameras.
They brought Ken Burns.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes. They're all, we have a couple of the officers are actually kind of very, very good photographers. So they all have their very nice equipment with them.
Oh, great.
To show with their body cameras. So.
Yeah, no, I'm interested in
that. Should get their body cams.
Absolutely.
On.
Yeah.
The body cams the
you see the
have.
Monkeys.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on. Thanks for what you do with Special Olympics Connecticut. And we're going to keep track of these guys. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, anytime. That was Jackie Turow, Senior Director of Special Events for Special Olympics Connecticut. We have David Hartman with the Wilford Police. Wilton, why do I keep saying Wilford?
Wilford!
Wilton Police Department, along with a bunch of other cops and folks, heading up Mount Kilimanjaro for a cause.
Very cool.
Can you Google Mount Kilimanjaro?
Yes, I looked up that Facebook group that she was just talking about, and there are some amazing pictures they've shared so far.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a free group that you can join on Facebook. What are we looking for Mount Kilimanjaro?
Just statistics.
Statistics. All right, let's see.
Bing, bing, bing.
How
bing,
tall is bing, Kilimanjaro? Bing,
bing. I'm working.
That would be a statistic.
I think it's the tallest freestanding structure.
It's not a structure.
No, it's a mountain.
Well, natural phenomenon.
How did you pass any science?
Barely.
Do you have a master's?
Yes, I do.
Jesus
Anna
Christ.
Johnson.
Not in science.
I always thought I wouldn't be able to get a master's, but now I feel like I can.
Wait.
Thanks,
what are you
Ashley.
Saying?
Yeah, really. If she can do it, you can do it too.
The highest single freestanding mountain in the world.
Mountain, not structure.
That's a building.
That structure mountain.
That implies construction has been done.
Oh. Right. Structure has construction.
Right. Same thing.
No.
Yeah. All right. What do we got here?
It's one of the seven summits. The seven summits are the highest mountains on each of the seven continents. It is 19,341 feet in elevation.
That sounds like a lot.
It does sound like a lot. That's above sea level.
Obviously.
16,100 feet from its plateau.
Just below would be a problem.
Exactly.
Scuba gear.
Because some mountains, like if you're in Hawaii, by the way, like it starts at sea level and then you have to go up above. This, it like the peak, the base, like where you hike from the base up to the peak is already above sea level.
You sound like me for a second.
How did you pass the science class?
Uh-oh. How do you not know what atmospheres are?
Oops.
Was there any other statistics or are we going to just... fight.
It's more likely to have an argument.
The first people known to have reached the summit of the mountain were Hans Meyer and Ludwig Pertschiller in 1889.
It's a Hans-on device. So are you? Look at you on the top of this Kilimanjaro.
So we only have two statistics.
If they played this the entire walk up and jumping off.
And one's a fact.
Right.
I'm reading. I'm trying to find the stuff that's interesting.
Oh, okay. How do you spell Kilimanjaro?
Want to give it a shot?
Why not?
Oh, do it.
Kilimanjaro.
Oh, you got
Did I get it?
Yeah! Woo! Okay. We probably could have ended that interview and just went to song.
We probably could have, but that's not us.
Yeah, very high mountain.
Yes.
That's what we learned in the last 5 minutes.
And it's above water.
Fotis Doulis is dead, but the litigation is far from over. There's the house, the furniture, the personal items, the crepe maker.
Right.
Who gets it all?
Who?
Probate Judge Lisa Wexler is on to help us. How does this work?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so tell me where you want to begin, Chaz, because you're right. It's rather complicated. With respect to the personal property, the default assumption is that it belongs to the people who lived in the house, and Fotis Doulos had lived in the house since the separation, but so did Michelle Traconis. So to the extent that things belong to Michelle, she'll have to prove them to the court. She'll have to show that she either bought them or they existed in a prior home with her or there's a photo of her with home or they're just common sense, like her own clothing, for example.
All right.
Things like that. And the probate judge will be happy to have her have those kinds of miter items. That's not what she's worried about.
Okay. It sounds like that happened because she had a list that was made available through the press media. And it had a bunch of items on it, like a crepe maker, a lemon squeezer,
right.
A soap tray,
right.
Champagne glasses, bath towels,
right,
scavenger
and other things.
Yeah,
I know. That's the crazy stuff. Did you hear the story with the cat, though?
No.
Did you hear what happened with the cat?
No. The cat.
So they had a cat that belonged to Fotis's mother. Fotis's mother was killed by their nanny. Accidentally when she was run over on their driveway in Farmington. By the way, they say that was such a trauma. That might have, like, changed his psyche forever. The human being he was closest to in the world was his own mother. That was clear for a lot of people said that. And she was accidentally killed by being run over. She owned a cat. When Fotis killed himself, the cat disappeared for days. The cat went into hiding somewhere in that vast house. That house is like over 14,000 square feet.
That's sick.
This is a huge house.
Yeah.
And the cat went into hiding. She was found, or he was found days later. And the person from the Carolinas who came up and financed the bond, who put up $147,000 in cash, and was on the hook for another couple hundred thousand.
The newest girlfriend.
Yeah. Right.
The new girlfriend.
Correct. She is the one who says that she wants the cat.
Okay.
And so what I read, and I didn't speak to Judge Evelyn Daly directly because I wouldn't do that, and she's a fine judge, by the way. She's the Farmington-Burlington probate judge. She's a very fine judge. What I read was that she was inclined to give the cat to Anna Curry. But what I thought of, I'm the probate judge in my district, the first thing I would have asked was whether or not the pet had any relationship to the children. Because in my mind, if one of the children was attached to the pet, that would have priority over the stranger.
Gotcha.
But she may have asked that. She may have investigated that. maybe the grandmother's allergic to cats. Maybe the building doesn't allow cats. I really don't know.
No, brother.
But, I mean, these are the things you think about when you're judging a situation.
Wow, that poor cat.
Yep. I know.
The cat was probably hiding not because the owner died, but because it smelled really bad things coming from that garage door.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yucky.
I'm getting out of here.
I'm going to go on to the far side of the house.
It's like a hide under something, yes.
Yeah.
You're probably right. And in self-protection and smartness that animals have, you're probably right.
Yeah.
So how does all this shake out now? So Michelle was awarded all the list of things that she wrote down. The girlfriend was in the house. Will the girlfriend, the current girlfriend, and Michelle, the former girlfriend, have some claim over some of these other things?
So in terms of like the basic stuff, right, the idea that his sister and whoever else was in the house hired some kind of a moving van to take the things away.
That's pretty fast. That's ballsy.
Unbelievable. I mean, chutzpah with a capital Ch, right? Unbelievable. It didn't belong to them under any scenario because this is who it belongs to, Chaz and AJ. Hi, guys. Hi. This is who it belongs to. It belongs to, most likely, the creditors of the estate of Fogel.
Right, to pay the debt.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of money owed there.
Yes, there is.
There's a lot of money, and they get paid first. I mean, Norm Pattis could be owed money, and he, you know, he would be a priority expense. All the lenders,
I mean, if I were you, I wouldn't
ask
him on the air.
Yeah.
The last time I asked him that, he hung up on
it. I think he got a waffle maker.
Yeah. So they're owed money, and then if there were anything left, it goes to the heirs. Now, what I was thinking about last night, to me, the really interesting thing is, so Fotis Doulos has been arguing all along that Jennifer is alive and well somewhere, right?
I feel like that was the initial argument, and then they pivoted once the blood was found.
Well, they've never really made the argument that she died. And the reason that's relevant is because he wasn't divorced from her when he died.
Right.
So her estate would have some claim to it if there was anything left in terms of
correct.
Money. Right.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So it goes to
children,
creditors,
and depending upon whether
Jennifer.
Or not there's a will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's creditors, then Jennifer.
And the kids.
So, right. Then let me ask you... how does that work with all the stuff in the house? Do they let's just say the bank takes the house, right? They're owed lots of money. So it's the house and the things in the house. Do they have like a house sale, like an estate sale?
Oh, right.
And then like they leave the stuff in the house and people walk in and you buy the stuff. Have you ever been to an estate sale?
I've heard of them.
Sure, many times. Yeah. Well, those are like tag sales. They call them estate sales, same thing. So the temporary administrator is a guy named Christopher Hugg out of Robinson & Cole in Hartford, and he is the administrator of the estate, and he's going to be the point person to discuss all of this with the bank. But, yes, they could auction off the items and turn it into cash and then decide the priority of the cash. But first, what I would do, and I'm sure Evelyn will do this, is you would survey the inventory, which is due within 60 days of appointment, and you would look at the inventory of all the stuff, and you would say, well, we're not going to sell family photos, right?
Yeah.
And we're probably not going to sell the toys that were in the kids' rooms because there are things of sentimental value that are not worth selling. So what you do first is you're a human being, and you say, is there an opportunity to give things to the children? That's what I would do.
I don't know
that Evelyn will do this, but I'm sure that she will, Judge Daly. And because there are things that are not worth selling, guys, right? But there are things that might have an emotional or sentimental attachment to the family.
But wait.
But wait.
All right, so let's say there's something that the dad bought the kids that was expensive, and it's in one of the children's bedrooms at that house.
Okay.
And the bank says, oh, no, not so fast.
Right.
That's a lot of money, and he owes us a lot of money, and we're going to take that.
Right.
Is that something that gets argued about in court? Or
it could.
Okay.
Although it could. It definitely could, and then the judge will make a decision.
All right.
It could. Yeah. I mean, but I can't imagine what that might be, but it could. I mean, yeah. I mean, this was a family that knew how to spend money. They could have bought a very expensive work of art.
Yeah, true.
Or, yeah, right. That's a perfect example.
Right.
An expensive piece of art that dad bought for so-and-so on Christmas there it is in their bedroom.
Right.
Bank wants it and family wants it.
Right. The bank is going to probably come first.
So if he has a will or had a will, that doesn't matter, right? Because he owes someone money and that person comes first.
Yes. The creditors come before anybody in the will. The will only matter to the extent that there are probatable assets that are available to be distributed after creditors are paid. And in this case, the initial look-see showed that the main cash, a little bit less than $200,000, was left in an IRA. An IRA is not a probatable asset unless the IRA beneficiary is the estate itself, which is very rare. So probably the designation on the IRA was the wife and children, I'm guessing. Although he might have changed it because this is such an acrimonious divorce. He might have made it, you know, his sister a long time ago. But in any event, the probate court will not have control over that asset.
Yeah. Hey. This is when all the vultures come out, and there's so many people who make money off of this.
Picking up the bones, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like the person who does the inventory, how much money you think they're going to make.
Right.
Like everyone's dealt with this where someone in the family, well, maybe not everyone, but someone in the family dies, and then everybody comes.
Yep.
It's like, wow, we haven't seen that one in 20 years.
Yeah, yep.
Here they are, walking through the house. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine.
Like it's a picnic. Yep.
Yeah. Brother.
Yep.
You're right. It really brings out the ugly in people. The administrator will get paid on an hourly basis, and the court is going to oversee those fees very, very closely.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah. All right. Well, then what does the probate court take? Do they take a percentage?
No. So they don't take a percentage of the gross assets per se. The probate fee is set by the tax return, which we call a CT-706-NT. And the bottom line is it's a tiny, tiny percentage, and it caps out in multi-million dollar estates at $40,000, which is occasionally received but very rare.
We were talking about this over lunch yesterday, like that house, would you... If you could get a good price on it, would you buy and live in that house?
Right.
Now, we don't know what happened in that house other than he committed suicide in the garage and basically died for all intents and purposes out in the driveway.
Yeah.
Would you buy that house if you can get a good price, AJ?
Yes.
Ashley?
Absolutely not.
Phil?
No.
Lisa?
No way. First of all, the grandmother died on the driveway. He died in the garage.
That's the house where she died?
Yes.
Oh.
They also had terrible fights and acrimony. His wife walked out with five children because he wanted the mistress to be with them. There's no energy or karma in the universe that would have me step foot into that house to live there. No way.
See, the garage was pretty cool.
I love the house, and I want to initially say... Yeah, if I got a good deal, I would take that house.
Right.
If I wanted to live in that area.
You have a priest walk through the whole nine yards.
No, but that's the problem. The ghosts.
Right.
I didn't even factor in.
Right.
The mother.
Right.
Right. It's like, oh, that's right. Yeah.
I don't know. It's
too many ghosts.
It's equity, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah.
Or flip it.
Right.
Flip it, sell somebody else. New coat of paint, never another place.
Yeah, all right. Lisa,
you know Connecticut has a law that says that if someone is murdered in a house, we're like the only one in the whole country, we have this law on the books that says if someone was murdered in the house, you have to disclose it at the time of a real estate deal.
I thought only if it's asked.
Only if it's what?
Asked.
If someone asks you, yeah.
If someone asks, if they don't ask, they don't have to give that information.
Well, so there's like a fudging way that it's disclosed in the real estate contract. You're right. It sort of can be evaded, but it's out there as an idea, right? It's out there as an idea. It's called psychological impact statute.
Ah. Oh, so that's during the disclosure when you're listing the house.
No, it's not when you're listing or you've got like a binder in the contract. In other words, after the binder in the contract.
No, but then it's too late.
Yeah, it's like, by the way.
No, well, I think it's in a disclosure, if I remember correctly.
You might be
when
right.
When you go through, like, have you ever had, you know, you have water problems, you have this house, you know, any issues with the roof or any of this stuff. And I think somewhere down there, does the house have any psychological impact?
Right. I think you might be right. Maybe I haven't checked it in a long time, but you might be right. Hmm. That's where it is. But we're a unique state that way. I don't know of another state
in many ways, Lisa.
Yeah, it's just one of
all right, Lisa Wexler, she's on WICC at 10 a.m. to noon weekdays. Thanks for coming on.
A pleasure. All thanks. Right.
Thank you.
She's good, man, but I work to get myself in.
Man, that's a lot of great information.
A lot of information.
Holy crap.
She's not shy.
I'm sorry?
I liked when you asked her a question. She said, no. Well, yes. No.
That shows she's thinking about it, though. That shows she's being fair.
She is the best.
She could have a judge show.
She could.
You know, I know she's not into it, but she could definitely be that person.
Like Judge Lisa, for example.
Yes.
Wow, how'd you come up with that?
That was quick, wasn't it?
She wouldn't be Judge Mary.
I won $100,000 for that name.
Oh, God.
Oh, thanks, AJ.
No problem. That's
great. Lisa, will you give AJ $100,000 for that name?
No.
No.
Well,
no.
Yes.
No. Yes.
She'll make much more.
All right, you ready to talk to a ghost guy? You ready to talk to a guy who has ghost audio?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, Jeff Jerry.
Like a radio name.
That's a cool name.
Jeffrey Jerry.
Jeff Jerry in the morning. Hey.
Lead investigator and founder of CT Pasts, the Connecticut Paranormal and Supernatural Tracking Society.
Wow.
In studio. Let's start with some audio, then we'll move on from there.
Okay.
All right. What do you got first?
First clip here coming up. This is actually from the very first case we ever did.
When?
Little backstory here. We were just actually setting up equipment, and when this went on in their daughter's room, that was their main concern.
What town?
This was from Stanford.
Stanford. Okay.
Stanford,
what year?
2007.
All right. This is your first case.
A very first case, yes.
You're like walking in with your gear. It's like the first day of school.
Brand new.
Absolutely.
Oh, hope in his eyes.
Yeah, you're walking in hoping there's something here.
All the pencils are sharpened.
What was the backstory? Someone die in the house? Or?
There was something that's been following the family from home to home for years and years.
Wow. Like a tick, yeah.
The kids were unable to sleep for the longest time, and they just wanted to have us in and see maybe if there was some more to that.
Was there were there noises or?
They were hearing a lot of noises and seeing a lot of things out of the corner of the eye. The standard that most people have going on.
Oh, the eye corner stuff. Yep.
Uh-huh.
All right. What is this first clip we're going to hear?
So, in this particular one, it's a bit of a multi-tiered clip. It's got probably two or three different voices.
All right, hold on. Let me let Phil set this up. What do we have?
Yeah, so like he was saying, you can hear a lot happening at once, and it's hard to sort of differentiate what the noises are, but you can tell right away. It's like, those aren't people.
Right.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Okay.
All right.
At that point, I'm out of the house.
Okay. Hold it. Can you hear that as you're recording it, or you have to go back and listen to it?
It's actually extremely uncommon to hear it while it's actually going on.
That's weird. Why is that?
Yeah.
People in the field tend to believe that it's on a different frequency than what we can actually hear with our own ears.
Okay. Right. It's like dog stuff.
Were the kids hearing this in their sleep?
The kids
have a different frequency, maybe?
The kids, people do believe that.
Kids and animals.
Kids and animals, exactly.
Like kids are animals.
Do you have to really?
Oh, come on, that was funny.
You have to ruin everything?
That was funny, come on.
All right, can we hear that again?
Yeah.
That sounds like my stomach when I'm really hungry.
Exactly, right, at the buffet.
What did you figure out what was being said or what was happening?
The clearest that we can make out in that one, in the beginning, you can hear it whispering sort of, I wish. And then, in the middle, the word terror is the absolute clearest word in that whole thing.
Let's hear that again.
And then in this energy.
Terror in this energy. Is that what it's saying completely, or?
It sounds like it. I mean, it sounds like, it sounds like three voices stacked on top of each other, so.
Do you have you should bring in a guy who can figure that out, right?
Mm.
Like, you're the collector of the stuff, but then you need someone who can interpret this.
Yeah, right.
Like
a ghost whisperer.
Yes. Right. This would be like me, getting a tape of someone speaking French and saying, I think they say this here and this here.
Right, let me take the so-and-so who speaks
French.
Yeah,
you should get it, because this is a real piece of work here. There's something going. You captured something.
Big time.
All right, let's hear it again.
I heard washing clothes.
Hey, shut up, shut up, washing clothes. It's a frustrated housewife who's sick and tired of washing clothes.
Did you hear that?
I heard washing
clothes. Where was it? In the middle or
it
the
was
beginning?
Like more towards like the middle part.
Let's hear it.
Washing clothes.
Let's hear it.
Right there. Yeah.
So that's actually where he says terror.
Really?
Well, yeah.
Some folks terror by washing clothes. Washing clothes.
That'd be funny if there's a ghost trapped in the house just complaining about doing housework.
Yes, exactly.
It's like just trapped in this house.
Right.
Washing clothes.
Right.
Sweeping up.
They're kicking.
Making food.
They're kicking underwears.
Going shopping.
Lazy bastard sits on a couch.
Picking up toys.
Wrapping a goddamn blanket.
All right. Jeffrey Jerry is here. He's lead investigator and founder of Sea Pasts. We're linked up at WPLR.com. It's one of these guys comes in. And he's a ghost hunter, AJ.
Exactly right.
And,
finds him, books him.
He will come out and check your house absolutely free. He says no one should live in fear of their own home.
That's very cool.
All right. This next sound that we're going to play now.
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
This particular clip is from one of our second bigger clients we had back in 2008.
When you say bigger, you mean this was a bigger case?
Yeah, this required multiple trips back there.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't a one-shot deal, one and done, yeah.
No,
this was in Bristol?
Yes, Bristol, Connecticut.
All right, and what was the story there?
This was another one where their child was just, it was impossible for them to sleep at night. They kept actually physically.
How old was the child?
Child at the time was about 4 or 5 years old.
Oh, okay.
Right, when they're 35, it's like, get out of the house.
Right.
Yeah, that's a little too old here.
Yeah.
Italian house.
All right, so they knew something was up.
Mm-hmm.
Were they hearing noises?
They were not at the time, no.
All right, so they're not hearing anything, but the kid's having trouble sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And they call you.
Yes.
Okay. And then you go, and what happened?
Going there, we found a good deal of activity going on there.
As soon as you walk in? Or
yeah.
You can feel it?
It was pretty weird in there.
Right.
Describe weird.
Weird in that pretty much wherever you walk in that house, you feel like you're being watched.
Right.
Yeah.
When the door opens itself, like, oh, hey, there's a problem here.
Well, you had one case. I don't know if we'll get to it, but a ghost locked through the latch on the screen door in
really?
Between him and his assistant.
Damn. Mm-hmm.
To me, if I'm on the inside of that situation, I'm jumping through the screen
yeah,
door.
Right. Yep. I'll strain myself, yes.
Okay, so how long were you at this house in Bristol?
Every trip we were out there, we were probably there maybe 7 or 8 hours.
Oh, my God.
Damn.
That's a lot of time to spend.
Right. It's exhausting, but it gives them answers, so.
Yeah. Were you able to get this ghost out of the house?
We weren't able to get it out, but we did find out pretty much who it was and what was going on there.
Oh, okay. All right, so we'll play the clip, and then you can tell us who
Absolutely.
It was and what it was doing. All right, go ahead, Phil.
I heard your name, Jeff. Jeff.
Oh, great.
I heard Jeff. Jeff. You heard Jeff. Jeff.
I didn't hear Jeff.
I heard Jeff. Jeff.
Jeff. Jeff.
Let me hear it again.
Jeff. Then Jeff.
Mm.
Like row your boat, Jeff. Jeff.
Like there's two.
Exactly right.
Like there's a Chaz and an AJ.
Or Echo.
Jeff. Jeff.
Jeff. Jeff. Right. That's what I heard. I heard Jeff.
Can we hear it again? The first thing to me sounds like Get Out.
Does this not send like shivers up and down your spine? Like I have goosebumps and I don't know. It's like
don't be
cold in here. I don't know. I don't
it's
feel
February.
Right. There's funk in here.
It's February.
You're
it's
always cold,
cold
Ashley. You're
no,
always
it's
cold.
A creepy cold though.
Oh, brother. You know what?
Somebody get the funk out.
Jeff, if she ever calls you, just tell her to turn the thermostat up.
Exactly.
Put a scarf on.
Yeah. Tell her stop wearing your entire wardrobe.
I when I breathe, there's stuff in the air, and I'm always cold.
Yeah, let me see.
Okay, your thermostat's on 50.
Right.
Yeah.
That was easy. It only took 7 hours.
It's a creepy cold.
Yeah. Do you know what this thing is saying? Because I can't figure it out.
Multiple listens to it. We thought it was saying darkness conquers light.
Oh.
Which, yeah, not something you want to hear in your house.
Let's hear that again.
Oh, absolutely. I hear that.
I hear darkness.
I heard Jeff, then darkness covers light or conquers light.
Let's hear the first word again.
Jeff,
darkness conquers light.
Man, if that thing knew your name, that's
creepy.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, it sounds like it's Jeff. I heard Jeff.
All right. What's the backstory on this? What did you find out?
Backstory there, interestingly, they found out that there was a man who lived in the house prior named Asa Upson.
Oh, Asa Upson.
And there was apparently a pretty nasty fire there that burned most of the house down.
How did Asa do? Boy.
Did Asa make it?
There's a possibility he was abusing children there.
Oh.
Oh, man.
He did die in the fire.
Oh, what do you
wow.
think? He was abusing
well,
kids.
Then.
Yeah. Well, that wraps that one
okay.
up.
Okay.
Yeah.
All good here.
Exactly. Like Freddy Krueger.
And what else did you find out?
We also, there was a crawl space under the house where we did find a lot of bones.
Oh.
Ooh.
Human bones or like chicken bones?
The thing there is a pretty standard... how it's usually handled when you find them. The police take them, and they'll call you back a week later. Oh, it was horse bones.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And that's the end of the story.
What are you
Still
suggesting? That if they find human bones, they're not going to tell you they found human bones?
Usually not.
Oh, gotcha.
Not you, but they would open up an investigation, right?
Really cool
like
case.
That you could track, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to just say, oh, man, some more human bones. Can someone get rid of these?
Look, I found this humorous.
Another investigation. Yes. I already have one I'm working on.
Interestingly, though, that did actually line up. Digging back in the newspaper articles, it said that he took in a stray horse found wandering around his property.
Oh,
and he was looking for the owner.
Right.
That was actually posted in the newspaper in the late 1800s.
And looking
That's
back,
the horse.
And looking back...
Well, you found the horse.
Found the horse. And looking back, it was bad to put in a crawl space.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Needed more room, apparently.
Yeah, really, the horse
like
should have been
pastures,
there.
Like green pastures,
That's where we keep a horse under their house.
Every now and then. And then stopped.
Yeah. Maybe that's how the house lit on fire. The horse knocked over a lamp.
Exactly right.
All right. So did you find out anything else?
As far as that one goes, no. But
then the house was rebuilt.
Yeah, it was.
It was a horrible fire rebuilt, and the ghost can stay there even though the house is rebuilt?
Will they tether to the property?
That's what we're assuming. Most people assume that they're going to tether to whatever the point was where they actually passed.
Gotcha.
Wasn't the truth with someone here? Like they were buried here in this property?
Yeah, right onto the side over here. There's a stone.
This one that we're in right now?
Yes.
Yes.
Great. They're buried in the property, and for a while, someone took the stone. They were using it to like clean their weed on, and they brought it back recently, and it's back now where it used to be. At least it's close.
Wait, someone took the stone, and they were using it
to clean their weed on, yes.
We know who this person is.
Yes, we do. No, without saying
they
any
called
names.
Us originally to tell us they took it.
A friend of theirs took it. It wasn't them who took it. A friend of theirs who liked to smoke weed
that's
and seen
weird.
It on tombstones, yes.
All right, and then so that's all we have on this Bristol house, right?
Yes.
All right, we have time for one more. We
should do clip four.
Okay,
clip
four? Let's do clip four.
Clip four.
And you want to give us a backstory on this before we play it?
This one is, this one's a bit out there. It's...
They're all out there.
Yeah. Right. There's no
maybe not to you, but to us, they're all out there.
They're not very common, no.
All right, can we just give a town here? Where's it from?
This is from my hometown of Seymour.
Oh.
And
So this is this Carousel Gardens?
No. This is before we even actually started officially investigating anything. This is basically a practice investigation in a house that was up for sale that one of my teammates' grandmother had passed.
Whoops. Holy crap.
So we were just testing out the equipment in a completely empty house.
Oh,
wow. This all clip right. here, this was taken actually when we just left all of our equipment running, locked up, and went out to grab some dinner.
That's funny. All right, go ahead.
What? No idea.
Doesn't sound good.
No, it does not. Sounds like Nana's pissed.
They never sound nice.
Yeah, Nana.
They
don't
sound like this.
Right.
Who left the jar of cookies open? And souffle in the oven, what happened?
What's it saying?
We hear that as saying she will now suffer.
Ooh.
No. Okay.
Grandma!
Whoa. I totally can hear that in the
oh,
clip.
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely. Word for word.
You hear it all the time.
Let's hear it again.
Oh,
had trouble saying absolutely.
Yeah, she will now suffer. And I heard, whoa.
like Fonzie?
Yeah.
She will now suffer. Whoa.
Whoa.
Let's hear it again.
Exactly.
And that's extra
suffer,
emphasis on suffer. Suffer
a mundo. Right.
Yeah.
Whoa. Whoa.
Suffer.
You must suffer a mundo.
Whoa.
Hey, short cake. Wow. Whoa.
Holy crap.
Wow.
Not good.
No, it's not.
That one's, we didn't even get to all your clips.
I know. There's so much more to do.
All right, we got to have you back in. We're linked up at WPLR.com to your Facebook. Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Holy smokes.
Literally, holy smokes.
This guy gets stuff that nobody else can get.
You will suffer. Whoa.
Yes, sir. Pretty crazy.
I'm telling you. I heard Jeff. I'm telling you.
All right. That's bad if it knows your name, Jeff.
Jeff.
Yeah, be careful.
Yeah,
no,
be careful.
Jeff.
It shows notoriety.
All right, thank you, my brother. Appreciate it. Man is stuck with a permanent erection.
I saw that earlier.
And this is a problem. And this is a problem how?
Permanent?
Permanent? That's right. A problem.
Well, you know.
Permanent.
Permanent.
Well, just things you can do in the house with it.
You had surgery.
You can hold your towel up.
Nice. 57.
Hammer a couple nails in, scare the cat.
You can't ever be a fill-in Santa.
This is true. Well, you could, but just, you know, at a strip club, maybe.
He had a serious groin injury in an accident.
Strip club Santa. Come on, it's pretty funny.
And had surgery, and then now, so before surgery, he couldn't get an erection, right. And now he has a permanent erection. Now
how about that, doctor?
Yeah.
Oops.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But I would think you thank him, I guess. Now your sundial.
Wouldn't that get annoying after a while?
I don't know.
Or painful. You know, either.
It depends.
Yes, Ashley. It would get annoying after a while.
I've never had an erection, so I don't know.
Well, for one thing, it makes slow dancing a lot more fun.
By the way, if you want a sound clip right there, Ashley saying I've never had an erection might be your thing.
Yes, there you go.
She's a soundbite machine this week.
Or so we think.
He said he feels like a prisoner in his own home.
Oh, really? Let's not be dramatic here.
And is too embarrassed to have his 9-year-old daughter over to visit him.
Yeah, and her friends.
Exactly right.
You can't.
If anybody asked him,
that's
a tent.
All bad.
Just wear a tent.
Don't wear sweatpants.
Imagine if it's so bad that you have to be in the news about it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah.
Like, you want to keep it to yourself, and then you're finally like, people are like, why aren't you coming to work? Why aren't you coming to the Little League game? It's like, I can't. I think someone comes over and goes, oh, man.
Yeah. Like, you excited to see me or what?
You can't sit down, right?
You can't, no. You have to lay down.
You have to pee standing far back from the
you
wherever
do, but it becomes
is
a game.
Yeah, like you're putting out a fire.
It becomes
toilet
a game.
Or urinal.
It becomes
yeah,
a
right.
game. You have to have the pose, though. You have to have that little
well, you got to put the hand against the
you
wall.
Do, you do, right. You got to bend at a 45-degree angle.
Yeah. It's all sweatpants from here. You know what I mean?
No, right. It's never sweatpants. No.
Yeah, that would be the worst sweatpants.
Oh,
that
no.
Shows
pockets.
Everything.
You,
wait, right.
Pockets, no,
Pat's like, everyone's going to see my boner. He just said he's not leaving the house.
Right.
That's why he's wearing sweatpants.
Yeah, you need.
Okay, try to. Put the wait, duct tape it into the jeans. What are you going to do?
I guess duct tape.
You want sweatpants, and you want to keep all your keys and stuff in your pockets in the front.
Wait, you want sweatpants? You want
yeah.
That to be
yeah?
Well, that I'm is the last is, thing you want.
No, right. I'm saying is you're staying home.
If
you're going
home,
out, you wear right. A banana hammock, and that's it. You
exactly.
Just show up the goods.
Right. You just right. Strap it to your. Your
not
stomach.
Sure that's the best.
You
why are you putting
stomach.
Keys in your sweatpants?
Yeah, I don't
know what he's doing with the keys.
So folks don't see the bulge. You gotta fill the pockets.
So now you have two.
You can put the keys. Somewhere else now. You
but
can
that
hang add, right on there.
While the front pocket.
That adds weight to the pants. It starts pulling the band down now.
Shut up,
look, a walking
why don't you
chain.
Just put a small towel or something in there?
Well, you could do that too. I don't right. Be weird.
Or one of those little fez hats. Just wear it on there.
Why not? Right. Right. Why not make,
put a hat on.
Why not make it?
I put a hat on.
Why not paint a face on and make it a puppet? There you go.
You know what would be worse is if this guy had this problem and no one noticed. Like, he was just,
is he Irish?
Is he seriously, it won't go down. Whatever, dude.
Is his last name O'Shannison?
And he complained that his doctor's office was refusing to send someone to his house, claiming that there are no male doctors available.
Wow, look at that.
Well, because it's probably, they probably think it's some creep. Hey, let's send a lady over. I got this issue you can take care of, you know?
That's right. Right.
Anyone who's, any female nurse who's worked in a nursing home.
Exactly.
Yep.
How about that guy who gets the call? Oh, I got the job?
Fag-day.
Yeah, your first job is you have to go visit this house.
Right. I guess you're happy to see me, huh?
Yeah. All right, we're done with that story?
I think so.
Stop
yeah.
Pointing okay. At me.
Yeah, really? What are you looking at?
Do you think the dog's finally laughing at him? Ha ha, you too.
Right, yeah.
No. It's a tough walk in a Johnny coat.
Yeah. Let's get you neutered.
Yeah, let's rub his belly and see if it goes away.
Exactly.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.